Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning, Dr. Kirsten Zemke from the University of Auckland. How's it going?
Good morning. It's good. It's good. End of term. Our weather's picking up. It's good for me. Hope it's good for everyone.
Do you have a whole bunch of marking to do at this time of year?
Wow, funny you should say that. My student, one of the larger courses I teach, has a couple hundred people in it, and their exam is today at 9.
Mm-hmm. So yes, so, potentially.
But I don't do the marking for that one. I mean, I'll mark a few of them. I oversee the marking. I have tutors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still marking because it's a lot of coordination and we're organized. So good luck to everyone. Shout out in Gender 101 this morning. I have grad students handing stuff in. I got to mark all their stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we have got very Friday music genre this morning. We are visiting jungle.
Wow. What a, you know, like, I guess some people call it a microgenre because it's sort of semi... It's short-lived in a way that it's between 1992 and 97. It was very UK-based, right? And it was at a time when there was so many genre explosions in this thing. I guess sometimes people will call EDM overall. But it's not really a microgenre either in that there's just so much depth and richness of the genre, of the scene, of the artists. So... Also, what I've been learning, for those of you who are interested, so I don't know if people have heard of drum and bass as well. I used to try to differentiate them, jungle and drum and bass, right? And which one was which? And could I hear it? Could I tell by listening, you know, because I might have to do stuff on the show or in a lecture about it? Well, I think one thing I just learned just this last week doing the research is a lot of them know and saying drum and bass was just a more acceptable word for white people, and that if you said you did jungle, you might be left out of the club. It was more associated with crime and with black people, and that the genre really are kind of the same-ish.
Yeah, I would always sort of just go jungle and drum and bass are one and the same, but
yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, see, I was always trying to myself, gosh, Kirsten, why can't you tell the difference? Well, apparently, yeah. Now, in reflection, yeah, they're kind of talking about it as one and the same.
Everything is jungle. Shall we start with the track? What are we going to start with, Kirsten?
Yeah, let's start with Urban Shakedown. Okay. So, right there you can hear. the very reggae, Caribbean, Jamaican music sound. And so that's what was happening in the 90s is that electronic music like, you know, raves and rave culture having huge events that were led by DJs rather than a band, clubs. Some of that music was a bit white. So this genre was bringing in reggae samples, and so you can hear very much. And in the UK, US had hip hop. So this was just a very UK thing reflecting their black community.
On that note, how would you say jungle reflects the cultural identity of the communities that created it, particularly in the UK?
Well, absolutely, because it's not hip hop, so it's a black, it's a sort of a black diaspora music, and obviously hip hop was very influenced by Caribbean music too. But it's sort of like this is their own, and it's more Caribbean than people than sort of African American, and so they didn't feel like they were copying something or appropriating something. But you can be, and then that's real speedy beat. It's the amen break. The music nerds will know what that is. So it's a particular, beat that was used as a break. You know, that's where a minute where you can actually kind of hear the beat and there's not so many vocals that they would take and sort of stretch and slow and speed.
Where would you say jungle sits within dance culture?
Well, definitely British. you know, because dance culture was very global, and you're going to, you know, if we're going to talk about dance culture, you're going to get Belgian, you know, you're going to get all sorts of stuff. It's definitely British claim, definitely a little more black, a little more, you know, associated with crime and that sort of stuff that you get with the other sort of happy clappy. The drugs are weed rather than, you know, like ecstasy. That makes sense.
You reckon for jungle?
I shouldn't be talking about this on the radio.
Yes, you can. This is BFM. This is a wild west. Wild west. But hey, we're talking about just the past as well. We're out.
That's,
you know, this
right.
In the old
we're documenting. We're scientific. Yeah, it's a little. It's a, yeah.
Okay, so you think that cannabis is more closely associated with jungle than ecstasy? I thought ecstasy would have been right up in there.
Really?
Yeah, big time.
Well, you know, you and I will have to go out and experiment one night.
Okay, yeah. Count me in.
No, but look, anything associated with that sort of Caribbean based in reggae, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get... Honestly, I am the least drug knowledgeable person, so I can't believe I'm here. Okay. But one quote I found said that jungle sounds like the future. Isn't that interesting?
I reckon it does. It sounds like, still sounds like the future today, I reckon.
But you know what? We're in the future.
Oh, my God. Kirsten, are you sure you're not on drugs?
That's right. That's right. That is... And another thing said, it's both experimental. And you can hear, you know, the beats, and it's choppy, but also still dance floor friendly, which is a really great line to sort of try to navigate.
Mm. Now, what track should we play next? What should we go?
What should let's play Valley of the Shadows.
This is one I really like, actually. This is from Unknown, Origin Unknown, Valley of
which
the Shadows.
Which is the band name, which is really confusing.
Makes it hard to like find online.
Yes, search Origin Unknown. So this is from 1996. It was originally released as a B-side in 93. And so funny. It samples one documentary, and it also samples a free CD that came with a magazine. Okay, you hear that same beat, though, again? You hear that?
Amen break.
Yeah. So we're waiting for the drop. Now...
I'm stealing this one. I'm going to play this. Play the crap out of this on the breakfast show in the future, Kirsten. I like this.
Now, I made a mistake. One of the main dudes in this group is called Andy C, and he's actually on the next track as well. So we're double dipping our Andy C this morning.
That's okay. He's kind of like the Don.
Yep.
Now, how would you say jungle has evolved over the years, and what are some of its notable subgenres?
Well, I mean, the big subgenre, obviously, or same genre as drum and bass, and then by the end of the 2000s, it became garage, which was really different again, a lot more poppy, had verses and choruses. So it's sort of all the same scene, but also, they're just as... fussy and gotta find the new thing. It's not even like just audiences, you know? It's like DJs like, no, that's the last year. But it had sort of a revival in the mid-00s. Which
yes.
is good.
Because
with these microgenres, some of them were so great, but everyone's like, oh, no, that's it, that's out. It is kind of good that it had some lasting.
I think jungle and drum and bass are just... there's something about... the genres that just resonates with the people of New Zealand. Obviously, we love our drum and bass here. I don't know why.
Yeah. I can't explain that either, because I feel like these jungle drum and bass are so UK, the club culture and everything. But yeah, there's something about it that really resonated in New Zealand. But even not even just the club culture. You know, we see artists like, it feels like the New Zealand landscape. You know what I mean? Like, it's so... you know, obviously someone's going to write a book, someone probably already has, make a documentary. It's just so interesting how it's been adopted here. But New Zealand did have the sort of cradle of the reggae scene. So it wasn't just picking this music out of thin air. It already had a strong reggae sort of ingrained into the land, I guess. So that helped it fit as well. Now this artist, I was going to say Andy C, who's with them, another thing I read up, that he normally performs with three analog turntables, and for you music nerds out there will know what I mean, because a lot of DJs, you'll have the two turntables, and now they're mostly digital, but he's doing these three So it must be quite spectacular, I can only imagine.
How would you say jungle has influenced other music genres around the world? And is there a bit of a cross-culture exchange here?
You talked about New Zealand. I think in some ways jungle is so specific. You know, as you can hear now, you know, people have heard two songs, so you're an expert. But you can hear that break beat. You can hear the types of samples that they use, the sort of lo-fi production. It is very distinct, but yet, you know, people will pick up little scenes around the world, and then things leak into pop music as well. So, like, yeah, I wouldn't even, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, is it a microgenre or not, you know?
I don't think so. I think it's just, for me, it's just, like, the foundation of modern drum and bass. I think it's massive.
But it's funny though, because it's so distinct that, like, you're hearing it, you're like, yeah, that's microgenre sound, and that it's just so iconic, so distinct, you know, but yet it still manages to have this umbrella quality as well.
It's great how it's got like a little five or so year
yeah,
like jungle 92 to 97.
Yeah, that's true. That makes it seem microy as well, but then, like, as you said, it's still kind of there.
Here we go. This is Andy C and Randall with Sound Control. This is what we're going for next day.
Yeah, 1994. Now, this is sad. Before we had landed on this track, we just had it as a list of things to do. DJ Randall passed in August this year.
Okay.
At age 54, yeah. Oh, this is great. Listen to that. Yeah, just, you know, interviews with Andy C, like talking about working with Randall and how they did this track, you know, just finding these beats and samples and just sort of playing with them together and laying them over. And sort of artists slash, they all have their own record labels. So that's a big thing too, part of this scene that we don't get in every scene. Artist slash record label, band slash record label. And big thing on pirate radio. So, you know, that's possibly why New Zealand loves it as well, because, you know, with BFM, there's sort of a stronger, you know, pirate radio thing. Mm. Not that you're a pirate, right? But you know what I mean? That sort of underground, non-mainstream radio. Illegal raves. This was the era of illegal raves. Oh, listen to that.
Do you have any, like, interesting tales or stories on illegal raves, Kirsten?
Myself? Of course not.
Oh, these are cops.
There they are. But, you know, there is danger associated with the scene, you know what I mean? You know, people like me, I don't know about you, we listen to music with danger and we're like, oh, that's a nice brushing close with it. but, like, you know, the scene really was kind of, you know, on the edge of that, you know, sort of. It was so non-mainstream. It was so not, you know, the venues, the gigs, the radio. It really was doing its own creative thing outside of this control that, you know, can sound a bit conspiracy theory. But we do know, you know, there is some hegemonic, like, you know, control around labels that are connected with all the way down to our hardware that we use to listen to music, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And, We're both going to be killed just for saying this right now.
I love, I just love, you know, how the drum and bass and dance culture sort of kept the vinyl trade alive. You know, they're all pressing records on small labels. None of the samples are cleared. They're just, you know, they're doing their thing. You know?
So true. Now, I don't know. I haven't looked lately. What's the situation with vinyl at the moment? Who's buying,
it's expensive.
Who's selling?
I think people with disposable income are treating themselves to some vinyl.
See, but isn't that the sort of the antithesis, right? Of this scene that is supposed to be sort of a little more grassroots, acceptable, Yeah, you're right. Now that I think of it, the last couple of people I know who bought vinyl, it's more like a luxury.
It is a luxury item at the moment, yeah.
Still
worth
it. Bummer.
Still worth it, but it is a bit more expensive.
My dad used to work for CBS television in the United States, but CBS is also was connected with various record labels, so he has just so much vinyl, just cheap stuff, because he could, you know, for $3 or $4 just yes. bring albums home every week. I remember, his record collection here, just bringing people, DJs over. This is back in the 80s, saying, gosh, is there anything good here? Do you want anything? You know?
Yeah.
But it's funny, a lot of it was, you know, that first track we played, you know, people did sample stuff that was like, you know, discussions and narrations and Christmas music, you know, didn't just have to be like music. I wouldn't say this is a dance floor banger.
It's not a dance floor banger. I reckon
Do you think
deep,
so?
Deep dark club, yes, definitely
yeah,
a banger.
Okay.
All actually bangers, you know, all underground, you know. Just
so
great
deep
nightmare.
Dark so small crowd, not big huge.
Small crowd.
Right, not big huge nah. sort of event / rave.
No. Definitely on the fringe. Yeah, definitely counterculture raving. Yes.
Kirsten, is there anything like that going on now? You'll have to tell us.
53 95, text us. Where's the underground scene happening? Hey,
that's
Kirsten,
right.
Kirsten Zemke, thank you so much for this week's Traveling Tunes. We'll look forward to speaking to you next
okay.
week.
Okay. Bye.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.